This third Sunday of our Lenten season sees a slight, subtle shift from where we began at Septuagesima to where we find ourselves today. In the season of Septuagesima, which preceded the beginning of our Lenten journey, we were given opportunities to look seriously at ourselves and to recognize our own powerfulness, our powerlessness, and weakness in the face of our sin. We've embraced our Lenten disciplines and have undertaken sacrifices, recognizing that we need to make recompense for the sins for which we are guilty, and we must call upon God's mercy for the forgiveness of the sins and transgressions for which we are guilty. So too, we have realized, and hopefully have begun to realize, that it is His salvific grace that gives us the courage we need to turn away from sin, remembering our nothingness and only focusing on His greatness. Now the Church asks us very subtly but very clearly to move toward power and strength, a strength that comes from Christ, who is the only victor over temptation, over sin itself. The power of Christ not only to confess our sins, but to resolve to never sin again. The grace is given and needed for reconciliation, and the gift of mercy are the same graces that God allows us to cooperate with by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and to live effectively the firm amendment of purpose with which we approach the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. And so St. Paul gives in our epistle the exhortation to the Ephesians to put aside sin, to expel the darkness that comes from that sin, and to live now as the children of light that we have become by virtue of the Lord's gift of His body and the shedding of His blood. And this is what we are about in our Lenten season, opening our eyes after the blindness of sin to the light of Christ Himself. This is the movement of confession from darkness to light, from the disability and the disorderedness of sin to the life and light of Christ and the truth that comes only from Him and in Him. No longer enslaved by my passions, but I am now set free to live as a true child of the light of a loving Father and a brother who sacrificed himself in order that I might live. This movement in confession is a real and sacramental movement. Grace poured out upon grace to achieve the darkness to light, the remission of sin to the newness and wholeness that comes in Christ Jesus. It is not merely a passing fancy or a psychological shift, but the true forgiveness of sins, a real reconciliation. You were in darkness because of your sins, and now you are in light because of the reconciliation and grace of our Savior. This is in large measure what motivates us to that firm amendment of purpose, precisely because we believe in what it is that has happened to us, that what has happened to us is real and true. If it is merely a psychological effect or merely some metaphorical transformation, then why bother going through the process of confessing one's sins at all? If it is merely to make me feel better about myself, then why do I need to go to God or Holy Mother Church in order to be authenticated in my own feelings and my own emotions? Of course, it was this question, wrongly answered by our separated brethren, that led them to reject this sacrament. And so many more now, even in the life of Holy Mother Church, who simply do not present themselves for the sacrament. Because of the little piece of heaven that we have here, we forget what the real world in Holy Mother Church is actually like. And I just returned from there doing a parish mission at a parish that, by all seemingly markers, is better than most in Novus Ordo land. But in truth, the number of people who did come to confession but also then expressed that it had been months or years since they had been to confession, but continued to receive Holy Community without any Holy Communion without any type of impunity was shocking to me. Do people not know or understand that when they are in a state of mortal sin, they should not present themselves for Holy Communion? That the only recourse to which we can go when we are in mortal sin is the throne of mercy that is reconciliation itself? Do not people understand the obligation to receive the sacrament at least once a year, if not more frequently, and in truth, beyond the canonical and juridical exhortation, the necessity to examine our consciences and to appropriately prepare ourselves for the gift that is the Eucharistic Lord? I'm grateful for those who did go, especially those who had been away from the sacrament for decades. But I was slightly overwhelmed and admittedly depressed and saddened that the state of the church, even in those places where they were making some degree of headway, there was so much more that needed and needs to be done. It is precisely this reality of always being armed and well prepared by the graces of God that is present in our gospel today, where the Lord, after having been accused of expelling demons by the head of demons himself, Beelzebub, says clearly this cannot be the case. And if you would just pull back from your hardness of heart, you would understand that it is my own authority, my own power that gives me the strength to do what it is that I do. Because no house can succeed if it is divided against itself. No man can resist if indeed he is conflicted in himself. And so what you are witnessing to, this power that you see, is not a power that comes from Beelzebub, but a power that comes from God, which should have been enough for them to repent and to be transformed. But we know that was simply not the case. This blindness, this hardness of heart, sadly, will continue. The Lord then takes this occasion not only to rebuke them for their ignorance, but then also to remind them that they need to safeguard themselves against temptation when it comes, that even when we find ourselves cleansed and purified, there still is always the possibility, if we are not on guard and vigilant, for Satan to return. And when he returns, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves even worse than before he left. One demon expelled, seven more return, and the state of the man is worse than it was prior to the expulsion of the demons. Why would Christ give us this warning if indeed there is purity and there is cleansing that comes from grace? Because it is the worst state of a man who comes to the sacrament himself, but then squanders that grace that is bestowed upon him. And even more disconcerting than those who have not gone to the sacrament in a long time are those who present themselves so frequently to the sacrament that there has been no time for grace to actually work on them. So much do they believe that grace is merely fairy dust sprinkled upon them. Or in some fashion or another, there is a hubris to believe that they can approach the throne of mercy again and again and again. They do not cooperate with God's grace. They speak about being tempted. They speak about being overwhelmed. They speak about struggle. But there's never really any ownership in their failure to embrace grace. They blame God for his failures. They blame Satan for his temptations. They blame the world for all the things that swirl around them. But never is there in the midst of that an understanding that you had grace and you squandered it. And why? Temptation is easy. My disorderedness and my sins at times are more familiar and more pleasing. It is easier, seemingly, to cooperate with the world than it is to cooperate with grace, only to find when we do come back that indeed we are in a worse state. Because maybe just for a moment, I knew and understood the power of God's grace, and I lived in that grace, and I knew of that peace. And then 2, 3, 4 days later, I squandered it for something that was only so fleeting. And after it, it made me feel worse than I was before. We come back and we ask again and we ask ourselves, how did I end up here? Never realizing you ended up there precisely because you either thought more and more about your sins. You thought about how egregious your sin was and God could never forgive you. You allowed your memories to fixate on the things that you did, and none of that is focusing on the power and the grace of God. Don't think about yourself. Don't worry about yourself. Think only about God first, last, and always, and He will care for you, provide for you, give you the grace and the strength that you need. And then, brothers and sisters, we have to live as women and men who believe this, who understand that we have been grace poured out upon grace that allows us to cooperate with God and to live as we should. If I am seemingly more animated than I usually am, which to my amazement always seems to be a difficult task, and then here I am, more animated than I usually am. It is precisely because of the world in which we live. I have to get you to heaven. I have to get myself to heaven. And we and I cannot do this unless we are serious in cooperating with the graces that God bestows upon us. How many times are you going to call upon the Lord and the Lord will answer you, and then you will waste the gifts that He's given you? So the church says, don't be defensive now. Don't be on the back pedal, on the back foot. Instead, go forward. And how do you go forward? Armed by grace, armed by virtue, through your disciplines and your sacrifices. You are ready to engage Satan in battle precisely because you have well prepared yourself and armed yourself with the mystery of God. There is no reason to live in fear of the world or scared or overwhelmed by temptation. Instead, take back your life by an outpouring of the graces of God. Live in the power of His mercy, His forgiveness, and His reconciliation. And in that way, brothers and sisters, we truly become agents of transformation. This is how the world will be changed. Not by governments, not by powers or mights or principalities, not by wars or aggression or violence, but by truth, by lives lived in truth, by grace and cooperating with grace. Final thought. The gospel concludes strangely with this Marian reality. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. Brothers and sisters all. The Lord says, those who keep my word, live the word, are brother and sister, mother to me. Of course, this may seem to be a dismissal of our Blessed Mother, but nothing could be further from the truth. She is the first one, not only as the Mother of God, but even in her heart, have conceived of and readied herself for the coming of our Lord, so that when He came in the flesh, she was well prepared to receive Him. In those moments of doubt and temptation, call upon Our Lady. Ask Our Lady's mediation, her strength. Remember the graces that God has bestowed upon you and live in them. Continue to be faithful to your Lenten disciplines. Do not slack off. Now is not the time. Double, triple your efforts and your energy. If you have not been, then you should. And if you have been, you should continue to seek reconciliation through the sacrament of confession and ask God in that sacrament to purify your sorrow and to give you strength to resist temptation. And in the fullness of time, brothers and sisters, we will be well prepared and rightly have earned a place at the banquet of the Lord, being faithful children, good brothers and sisters, to a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit, who love us completely and totally. Let us praise God and give Him thanks for what it is that He has done for us, and let us pledge to use well the graces and blessings bestowed upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.